Let me introduce one of my favourite intimacy brands, Bloom Stories. They offer spicy audio stories, guides, and audiobooks for more satisfying me time. I love the depth of their catalogue, over 1,000 fantasies for every mood, with new content released on Fridays. If you like my work, this is definitely for you. Go to bloomstories.com, listen to free episodes, and when you're ready to unlock more, use promo code GIRLONTHENET to save up to 70%.
This is Pity Fuck by Girl on the Net, read by Leo De Luca. A brief content note before I begin. This story is part of a series called Emotional Fucks, which explores different reasons for people fucking. Not all the reasons are pleasant, and not all the characters are kind. All the sex in this story is consensual, but that doesn't mean it's nice. Show me a man who wouldn't respond to a woman mewling like a lost kitten, and I'll show you a fucking liar. Who could look at a delicate porcelain face like Judy's, streaked with mascara after yet another session of fruitless begging, and not think, sure, I'll spear that bitch with my cock? Don't lie. Don't tell me you'd wait for more noble reasons. What nobler reason could there be to fuck someone than she was begging for it and I was happy to give it to her? It wasn't the first time, either. I'd spent so many mornings trying to peel her grabby little hands off me as I tried to extricate myself from the silliness of the sordid night before. Drunken silliness, might I add. Eventually I realised the only way to get rid of this particular demon was to exorcise it with a good, hard pity fuck. Piercing her snot-streaked face with my cock seemed to give her a remarkable degree of satisfaction. In front of others she feigned poise, a pretense at smartness with even perhaps a tiny hint of naivete. In private, my dick was her pacifier, and I'd croon, good girl, the way she liked me to, all the while holding her messed up head in my hands to make sure the ridge of my dick hit her throat at just the right angle. Say what you like about her whimpering and whining in the creepy way she'd make a beeline for me at parties. She made up for that unpleasantness by being a greedy little cocksucker. She wanted every inch of it, even if it made her choke. So, again, I'd ask you, what man would do less? Who among us has the strength of will to keep saying no when there's a needy slut begging to choke on it? I admit that my behaviour on those other evenings wasn't good, perhaps ungentlemanly. I should never have let her up the garden path or let her believe that I cared for her. I imagine I'll be in my 60s before I stop kicking myself for saying the L word. At that, she was hooked, and she turned from this bouncing, doe-eyed nymphette into a grasping, suspicious bitch. Don't you love me? She'd wheedle at 11 p.m. if I tried to peel off with the boys, instead of ordering a taxi for two. In those moments, I'd feel a flash of something remarkably akin to hate, tempered only slightly by the inevitable lust that comes when you've topped up on whiskey and there are two neat curves of tit just begging to be freed from a plunging neckline. The wheedling I despised. But I knew that before long that wheedling would turn to her releasing my tortured cock from my suddenly too tight trousers and embarking on a spot of that cock-sucking she was so good at. And from cock-sucking, it's but a short step to having her scrunched up like a pretzel beneath me while I plunder her poor little cunt. So I'd book the taxi. The morning after, I'd feel grim. She'd feel grimmer. We'd both know when we looked at each other that this thing would never last. That she could never keep me tied down, as I could never love her. It wasn't just that her father was a nobody. She herself was a nobody, too. Just too nothing. Needy but never interesting. Desperate but never enticing. Meek and mild and eager to please, and so very easy to get bored with. So she'd beg me to stay and slobber on my dick, and if I felt sorry enough for the poor bitch while she sucked it, I'd flip her over and plunge in, big, long, hard strokes, like each one of them was a slap to put her in her place. She'd moan and squeak and wriggle and say she loved me, and all I could think about was how magnificent my cock looked in her wet little cunt. "Do you like that?" I'd ask her, over and over. "Is that what you want?" "Yes," she'd squeak. "Oh, yes, that's all I want. Fucking give it to me!" So I did. Hard enough that sometimes I wondered if my fat cock would split her in two. Deep enough that I know she sometimes bruised for days afterwards. Exactly as she wanted it, as she'd begged for it. Every Saturday morning, after every drunken Friday night, for the whole of the first year of my 20s. Beggars belief, doesn't it? That I spent so much of my glory years servicing someone who would never be of any use to me herself. Dispensing cock to her, like it was morphine for the pain she felt when she realized I'd never love her. Shooting doses of my cum into her wide-open mouth, and watching the wretched faces she'd pull as she guzzled down the medicine. "Drink up, dear, it's all you're getting." But fair play to her, she was grateful. Sometimes after I'd come inside her, she'd nuzzle in to try and grasp at some affection. A head resting on my shoulder, perhaps, or an arm thrown casually, desperately, across my chest. But although she took these little liberties, she always remembered that I had my limits. After a few seconds of that nonsense, she'd go back to what she did best, wriggling her delicate little body down the bed so she could suckle the taste of her wretched cunt from my cock. If you like this, you can find more sexy stories read aloud at girlonthenet.com/audioporn.